This evening on Drama on Three, we present Shakespeare's play in his own language. The play is introduced by Sir Richard Eyre.
Macbeth is Shakespeare's shortest, quickest tragedy. Its colours are black and red. The play summons up dusk and midnight, and at the end, a poor player who struts and frets with empty sound and fury, his life a candle that is snuffed out, signifying nothing. Along the way, we witness high passion, faulting ambition, alliances made and broken. Macbeth is a soldier. He's great in action, but not in judgment. Give him a sword, and without hesitation he will unseam a traitor from the knave to the chops. But give him words, and he'll first be easily led, then hesitant. His wife chides him for this. But ironically, as the two of them wade deeper into blood, he becomes more purposeful, she becomes a nightmare-beset shadow of her former self. Shakespeare doesn't usually portray married couples who work together as partners. There are moments of exceptional tenderness between the Macbeths, yet there's an emptiness at the core of their relationship. The play is scarred by images of sterility and harrowed by glimpses of dead babies. Is power in the end a substitute for love? Is ambition nothing but compensation for the sorrow of childlessness?
Macbeth by William Shakespeare. With Ken Stott as Macbeth and Phyllis Logan as Lady Macbeth.
Lost and won.
That will be ere the set of sun.
Where the place?
Here to meet with Macbeth.
I come, Grey Malkin.
Paddock calls.
Anon.
Fair is foul and foul is fair. Hover through the fog and fill the air.
What bloody man is that? He can report a seemeth by his plight of the revolt, the new estate.
This is the sergeant who, like a good and hardy soldier, fought against my captivity. Hail, brave friend! See to the king the knowledge of the broil as thou didst leave it.
Doubtful it stood, as two spent swimmers that do cling together and choke their art. The merciless MacDonald, worthy to be a rebel, for to that the multiplying villainies of nature do swarm upon him from the western isles. Of cairns and gallow glasses is supplied, and fortune on his damned quarrel smiling showed like a rebel's hooer. But all's too weak for brave Macbeth. Well, he deserves that name. Disdaining fortune with his brandished steel, which smoked with bloody execution, like valor's minion carved out his passage till he faced the slave. Which ne'er shook hands, nor bade farewell to him, till he unseamed him from the knave to the chaps, and fixed his head upon our battlements.
Oh, valiant cousin, worthy gentleman.
Mark, King of Scotland, mark. No sooner justice had, with valour armed, compelled these skipping cairns to trust their heels, but the Norwegian lord, surveying vantage, with furbished arms and new supplies of men, began a fresh assault.
Dismayed not this, our captains Macbeth and Banquo?
Yes, as sparrows eagles, or the hare the lion. If I say sooth, I must report they were. As cannons overcharged with double cracks, so they doubly redouble strokes upon the foe. Except they meant to bathe in reeking wounds or memorize another Golgotha, I cannot tell. But I am faint. My gashes cry for help.
So well thy words become thee as thy wounds, they smack of honor both. Go, get him, surgeons.
Who comes here?
My pain of brass.
What a haste looks through his eyes. So should he look that seems to speak things strange.
God save the king.
Whence camest thou, worthy thing?
From Fife, great king, where the Norwegian banners flout the sky and fan our people cold. Norway himself, with terrible numbers, assisted by that most disloyal traitor, the Thane of Codder, began a dismal conflict, till that Bellona's bridegroom, lapped in proof, confronted him with self-comparisons, point against point, rebellious arm against arm, curbing his lavish spirit, and to conclude, the victory fell on us!
Great happiness!
But now, Sweno, the Norway's king, craves composition, nor would we deign him burial of his men till he dispersed, at St. Combs Inch, $10,000 to our general use!
No more. That Thane of Codder shall deceive our bosom interest. Go, pronounce his present death. And with his former title, greet Macbeth.
I'll see it done.
What he hath lost, noble Macbeth hath won.
Fear is foul, and foul is fear. Hover through the fog and filthy air. A drum, Macbeth doth come.
So foul and fair a day, I have not seen.
How far is called to forest? What are these? So withered and so wild in their attire that look not like the inhabitants of the earth and yet are odd. Live ye? Or are ye aught that man may question? You seem to understand me. By each at once a choppy finger laying upon her skinny lips. You should be women, and yet your beards forbid me to interpret that you are so.
Speak, if you can. What are you?
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Glamis.
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Codder. All hail, Macbeth, that shalt be king hereafter.
Good sir, why do you start and seem to fear things that do sound so fair? In the name of truth, are ye fantastical? Or that indeed which outwardly ye show? My noble partner, ye greet with present grace and great prediction of noble having and of royal hope that he seems wrapped withal. To me ye speak not. If you can look into the seeds of time and say which grain will grow and which will not, speak then to me and neither beg nor fear your favours nor your hate.
Hail! Lesser than Macbeth. And greater,
not so happy, yet much happier. Thou shalt get kings, though thou be none. So all hail Macbeth and Banquo.
Banquo and Macbeth, all hail.
Stay, you imperfect speaker. Tell me more. By Sino's death, I know I'm Thane of Glamis, but how of Codder? Thane of Codder lives. Prosperous gentleman, and to be king stands not within the prospect of belief, no more than to be codder. Say from whence you owe this strange intelligence, or why upon this blasted heath you stop our way with such prophetic greeting. Speak! I charge you!
The earth hath bubbles as the water has, and these are of them. Whither are they vanished?
Into the air. And what seemed corporal melted as breath into the wind. Would they had stayed?
Were such things here as we do speak about? Or have we eaten on the insane route that takes the reason prisoner?
Your children shall be kings.
You shall be king.
And Thane of Codder too, went it not so?
To the self-same tuning words. Who's here?
The king hath happily received Macbeth. The news of thy success.
We are sent to give thee from our royal master thanks. Only to herald thee into his sight, not pay thee.
And for an earnest of a grace or honour, it bade me from him call thee Thane of Codder, in which edition hail, most worthy Thane, for it is thine.
What, can the devil speak true?
The Thane of Codder lives. Why do you dress me in borrowed robe?
Who was the Thane lives yet, but under heavy judgment bears that life which he deserves to lose. whether he was combined with those of Norway, or did line the rebel with hidden help and vantage, or that with both he laboured in his country's rack, I know not. But treason's capital, confessed and proved, have overthrown him.
Glamis and Thane of Cawdor, the greatest is behind. Thanks for your pains.
Do you not hope your children shall be kings? When those that gave the Thane of Cawdor to me promise no less to them?
That trusted home might yet enkindle you unto the crown besides the Thane of Cawdor. But 'tis strange. And oftentimes, to win us to our harem, the instruments of darkness tell us truths. Win us with honest trifles to betray us in deepest consequence. Cousins! A word, I pray you! Yeah.
Two truths are told, as happy prologues to the swelling act of the imperial theme.
Thank you, gentlemen!
This supernatural soliciting cannot be ill. Cannot be good. If ill, why are they given the earnest of success, commencing in a truth, I am Thane of Cawdor? If good, why do I yield to that suggestion, whose horrid image doth infix my hair, and make my seated heart knock at my ribs, against the use of nature? Present fears are less than horrible imaginings. My thought, whose murder yet is but fantastical, shakes so my single state of man that function is smothered in surmise, and nothing is but what is not.
Look how our partner's wrapped.
If chance will have me king, by chance may crown me without my star.
New honours come upon him, like our strange garments, cleave not to their mould, but with the aid of use.
Come what come may, time and the hour runs through the roughest day.
Worthy Macbeth, we stay upon your leisure.
Give me a favour. My dull brain was wrought with things forgotten. Kind gentlemen, your pains are registered where every day I turn the leaf to read them. Let us toward the king.
Think upon what hath chanced, and at more time, the interim having waited, let us speak our free hearts each to other.
Very gladly.
Till then, enough. Come, friends!
Is execution done on Cawdor? Are not those in commission yet returned?
My liege, they are not yet come back, but I have spoke with one that saw him die, who did report that very frankly he confessed his treasons, implored your highness' pardon, and set forth a deep repentance. Nothing in his life became him like believing it. He died as one that had been studied in his death, to throw away the dearest thing he owed as 'twere a careless trifle.
There's no art to find the mind's construction in the face. He was a gentleman on whom I built an absolute trust.
Oh, worthiest cousin!
The sin of my ingratitude even now was heavy on me. Thou art so far before that swiftest wing of recompense is slow to overtake thee. Would thou hadst less deserved, that the proportion both of thanks and payment might have been mine. Only I have left to say, more is thy due than more than all can pay.
The service and the loyalty I owe, in doing it, pays itself. Your highness' part is to receive our duties, and our duties are to your throne and state children and servants, which do but what they should by doing everything safe toward your love and honour.
Welcome hither. I have begun to plant thee, and will labour to make thee full of growing. Noble Banquo, thou hast no less deserved, nor must be known no less to have done so. Let me enfold thee, and hold thee to my heart.
There if I grow, the harvest is your own.
My plenteous joys, wanton in fullness, seek to hide themselves in drops of sorrow. Sons, kinsmen, things, and you whose places are the nearest, know, we will establish our estate upon our eldest Malcolm, whom we name hereafter the Prince of Cumberland. His honour must not unaccompanied invest him only, but signs of nobleness, like stars, shall shine on all deservers. From hence to Inverness, and bind us further to you.
The rest is labour which is not used for you. I'll be myself the harbinger and make joyful the hearing of my wife with your approach. So humbly take my leave.
My worthy Cawdor!
The Prince of Cumberland. That is a step on which I must fall down, or else o'erleap, for in my way it lies. Stars, hide your fires. Let not light see my black and deep desires. The eye wink at the hand, yet let that be which the eye fears when it is done to see.
They met me in the day of success, and I have learned by the perfectest report they have more in them than mortal knowledge. When I burned in desire to question them further, they made themselves air into which they vanished. Whilst I stood wrapped in the wonder of it, came missus from the king, who all hailed me Thane of Cawdor, by which title before these weird sisters saluted me, and referred me to the coming on of time with Hail, King that shalt be. This have I thought good to deliver thee, my dearest partner of greatness, that thou mightst not lose the dues of rejoicing by being ignorant of what greatness has promised thee. Lay it to thy heart and farewell. Glamis thou art, and Cawdor, and shalt be what thou art promised. Yet do I fear thy nature. It is too full of the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Thou wouldst be great, art not without ambition, but without the illness should attend it. What thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily, wouldst not play false, and yet wouldst wrongly win. Thou'dst have great glams, that which cries, thus thou must do, if thou have it, and that which rather thou dost fear to do than wishest should be undone. Hie thee hither, that I may pour my spirits in thine ear, and chastise with the valour of my tongue all that impedes thee from the golden round, which fate and metaphysical aid doth seem to have thee crowned withal.
What is your tidings?
The king comes here tonight.
Thou art mad to say it! Is not thy master with him? Who, what so, would have informed for preparation?
So please you, it is true, our thane is coming. One of my fellows had the speed of him, who, almost dead for breath, had scarcely more than would make up his message.
Give him tending. He brings great news. The raven himself is hoarse that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements. Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts. Unsex me here, and fill me from the crown to the toe, top full of direst cruelty. Make thick my blood, stop up the access and passage to remorse, that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come to my woman's breasts and take my milk for gall, you muttering ministers, wherever in your sightless substances you wait on nature's mischief. Come, thick night, and pall thee in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peep through the blanket of the dark to cry, hold, hold. Great Glamis, worthy Cawdor, greater than both by the all hail hereafter. Thy letters have transported me beyond this ignorant present, and I feel now the future in the instant.
My dearest love, Duncan comes here tonight.
And when goes hence?
Tomorrow. As he purposes.
Oh, never shall sun that morrow see. Your face, my Thane, is as a book where men may read strange matters. To beguile the time, look like the time. Bear welcome in your eye, your hand, your tongue. Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. He that's coming must be provided for. And you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall to all our nights and days to come give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
We will speak further.
Only look up clear. To alter favor ever is to fear. Leave all the rest to me.
This castle had a pleasant seat. The air nimbly and sweetly recommends itself unto our gentle senses.
This guest of summer, the temple-haunting martlet, does approve by his loved mansionry that the heaven's breath smells wooingly here.
See! See our honored hostess! The love that follows us sometime is our trouble, which still we thank as love. Herein I teach you how you shall bid God Ildus for your pains and thank us for your trouble.
All our service in every point twice done, and then done double, were poor and single business to contend against those honours deep and broad wherewith your majesty loads our house. For those of old and the late dignities heaped up to them, we rest your helots.
Where's the Thane of Cawdor? He coursed him at the heels, and had a purpose to be his purveyor, but he rides well, and his great love, sharp as his spur, hath holp him to his home before us. Fair and noble hostess, we are your guest tonight.
Your servants ever have theirs themselves, and what is theirs in comp to make their audit at your highness' pleasure, still to return your own.
Give me your hand. Conduct me to mine host. We love him highly, and shall continue our graces towards him. By your leave, hostess.
If it were done when 'tis done, then 'twere well. It were done quickly. If the assassination could trample up the consequence and catch with his surcease success, that but this blow might be the be-all and the end-all of here. But here, upon this bank and shoal of time, we jump the life to come. But in these cases, we still have judgment here, that we but teach bloody instructions, which being taught, return to plague the inventor. This even-handed justice commends the ingredients of our poisoned chalice to our own lips. He's here in double trust. First, as I'm his kinsman and his subject, strong both against the deed. Then as his host, who should against his murderer shut the door, not bear the knife myself. Besides, this Duncan hath borne his faculties so meek, hath been so clear in his great office, that his virtues will plead like angels, trumpet-tongued, against the deep damnation of his taking off, and pity, like a naked newborn babe, striding the blast, or heaven's cherubim horsed, upon the sightless couriers of the air shall blow the horrid deed in every eye, the tears shall drown the wind. I have no spur to prick the sights of my intent, but only vaulting ambition, which o'erleaps itself and falls on the other.
Oh, now, what news?
He has almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Have he asked for me?
No, you not, he has.
We will proceed no further in this business. He hath honored me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, which will be worn now in their newest gloss, not cast aside so soon.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Hath it slept since? and wakes it now, to look so green and pale at what it did so freely. From this time such I account thy love. Art thou afeard to be the same in thine own act and valour as thou art in desire? Wouldst thou have that which thou esteemst the ornament of life, and live a coward in thine own esteem? Letting, I dear, not wait upon thy wood like the poor cat of the adage.
Prithee, peace! I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none.
What beast was then that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you were a man. And to be more than what you were, you would be so much more the man. Nor time nor place did then adhere, and yet you would make both. They have made themselves, and that their fitness now does unmake you. I have given suck, and know how tender it is to love the babe that milks me. I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from his boneless gums and dashed the brains out, had I so sworn as you have done to this.
If we should fail?
We fail! But screw your courage to the sticking place and we'll not fail. When Duncan is asleep, where to the rather shall his day's hard journey soundly invite him? His two chamberlains will I with wine and wassail so convince that memory, the warder of the brain, shall be a fume, and the receipt of reason a limbeck only. When in swinish sleep their transient natures lie as in a death, what cannot you and I perform upon the unguarded dunk? What not put upon his spongy officers, who shall bear the guilt of our great quell?
Bring forth men, children only, for thy undaunted metal should compose nothing but males. Will it not be received when we have marked with blood these sleepy two of his own chamber and used the very daggers that they have done?
Who dares receive it other, as we shall make our grease and clamour roar upon his death?
I am settled and bend up, each corporal agent to this terrible feat. Away, and mock the time with fairest show. False face must hide what the false heart doth know.
There goes the night, boy.
The moon is down. I've not heard the clock.
She goes down at 12.
I take 'tis later, sir.
There's husbandry in heaven. The candles are all out. A heavy summons lies like lead upon me, and yet I would not sleep. Merciful powers restrain in me the cursed thoughts that nature gives way to in repose. Who's there?
A friend.
What, sir, not yet at rest? The king's abed. It's been an unusual pleasure, and sent forth great largesse to your offices. This diamond he greets your wife withal, by the name of most kind hostess, and shut up in measureless content.
Being unprepared, our will became the servant to defect, which else should free have wrought.
All's well. I dreamt last night of the three weird sisters. To you they've shown some truth.
I think not of them. Yet when we can entreat an hour to serve, we would spend it in some words upon that business, if you would grant the time.
At your kind's leisure.
If you shall cleave to my consent, when 'tis, it shall make honour for you.
So I lose none in seeking to augment it, but still keep my bosom franchised and allegiance clear. I shall be counselled.
Good repose the while.
Thanks, sir. The like to you.
Go bid thy mistress when my drink is ready. She'll strike about the bell.
My lord!
Get thee to bed.
Is this a dagger which I see before me? Handle toward my hand. Come, let me clutch thee. Have thee not yet to see thee still? Art thou not fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Of art thou but a dagger of the mind, a false creation, proceeding from the heat-oppressed brain? I see thee yet, in form as palpable as that which now I draw. Thou marshalest me the way that I was going, and such an instrument I was to use. Mine eyes are made the fools of the other senses, or else worth all the rest. I see thee still, and on thy blade and dudgeon gouts of blood, which was not so before. There's no such thing. It is the bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes. Now o'er the one half world, nature seems dead, and wicked dreams abuse the curtained sleep. Witchcraft celebrates pale Hecate's offerings and withered murder. Alarmed by a sentinel, the wolf, whose howls his watch, thus with his stealthy pace, with Tarquin's ravishing strides towards his design, moves like a ghost. How sure and firm said earth, hear not my steps, which way they walk, for fear thy very stones prate of my whereabout. And take the present horror from the time which now suits with it. While thy threat, he lives. Words to the heat of deeds, too cold breath gives. I go, and it is done. The bell invites me. Hear it now, Duncan, for it is a knell that summons thee to heaven or to hell.
That which hath made them drunk hath made me bold. What hath quenched them hath given me fire. Hark! Peace. It was the owl that shrieked. The fatal bellman which gives the sternest good night. He is about it. The doors are open, and the surfeited grooms do mock their charge with snores. I have drugged their possets, that death and nature do contend about them, whether they live or die.
Who's there?
What? Alack, I am afraid they have awaked, and 'tis not done. The attempt and not the deed confounds us. Hark! I laid their daggers ready. He could not miss them. Had he not resembled my father as he slept, I had done it. My husband.
I have done the deed. Didst thou not hear a noise?
I heard the owl scream and the cricket's cry. Did not you speak?
When?
Now?
As I descended?
Aye.
Hark! Who lies in the second chamber?
Donal Bain.
This is a sorry sight.
A foolish thought to say a sorry sight.
There's one did laugh and sleep, and one cried murder. That they did wake each other, I stood and heard them. But they did say their prayers and address them again to sleep.
There are two lodged together.
One cried, God bless us, and amen the other. As they had seen me with these hangman's hands, listening their fear, I could not say amen, when they did say, God bless us.
Consider it not so deeply.
But wherefore could not I pronounce amen? I had most need of blessing, and amen stuck in my throat.
These deeds must not be thought after these ways, so it would make us mad.
Methought I heard a voice cry, sleep no more. Macbeth, does murder sleep? The innocent sleep? Sleep the knits up? The raveled sleeve of care, the death of each day's life, sore labor's bath, balm of heart minds, great nature's second course, chief nourisher in life's feast.
What do you mean?
Still it cried, sleep no more. To all the house, Glamis hath murdered sleep, and therefore Cawdor shall sleep no more. Macbeth shall sleep no more.
Who was it that thus cried? Why? Worthy Thane, you do unbend your noble strength to think so brain-sickly of things. Go, get some water, and wash this filthy witness from your hand.
Oh.
Why did you bring these daggers from the place?
He must lie there. Go, carry them, and smear the sleepy grooms with blood.
I'll go no more. I'm afraid to think what I have done. Look on it again, I dare not.
Infirm of purpose. Give me the daggers. The sleeping and the dead are but as pictures. 'Tis the eye of childhood that fears a painted devil. If he do bleed, I'll gild the faces of the grooms withal, for it must seem their guilt.
What's that knocking? As it would need, when every noise appalls me. What hands are here? Ah, they pluck out mine eyes. Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood clean from my hand? No. This my hand, or rather, the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red.
My hands are of your color, but I shame to wear a heart so white. I hear a knocking at the south entry. Retire we to our chamber. A little water clears us of this deed. How easy is it, then? Your constancy hath left you unattended. Hark, more knocking. Get on your nightgown, lest occasion call us and show us to be watchers. Be not lost so poorly in your thoughts.
To know my deed, 'twere best not know myself. Wake Duncan with thy knocking. I would thou couldst.
Here's a knocking indeed. If a man were porter of Hell Gate, he should have old turning the key. Knock, knock, who's there in the name of Beelzebub? Here's a farmer that hanged himself in the expectation of plenty. Come in time, if that can't know about you, here you'll sweat for it. Knock, knock, who's there in the other devil's name? Knock, knock, who's there? Faith, here's an English tailor come hither for stealing out of a friend's hose. Oh, come in, tailor. Here you may roast your goose. Knock, knock, never a cry. What are ye? This place is too cold for hell. I'll devil porter it no further. I had thought to have let in some of all professions that go the primrose way to the everlasting bonfire.
Anon, anon, I pray ye. Remember the porter.
So late, friend, you went to bed, that you do lie so late.
Wait, sir, we were carousing till the second cock. And drink, sir, is a great provoker of three things.
What three things does drink especially provoke?
Marry, sir. Nose painting, sleep, and urine. Lechery, sir, it provokes and unprovokes. It provokes the desire, but it takes away the performance. Therefore, much drink may be said to be an equivocator with lechery. It makes him, and it mars him. It sets him on, and it takes him off. It persuades him, and disheartens him. It makes him stand true, and not stand true. And in conclusion, equivocates him in his sleep, and giving him the lie, leaves him.
I believe drink gave thee the lie last night.
That it did, sir, in the very throat of me, but...
Is thy master stirring? A knocking has awaked him. Here he comes.
Good morrow, noble sir.
Good morrow, both.
Is the king stirring, worthy thane?
Not yet.
He did command me to call timely on him. I've almost slipped the hour.
I'll bring you to it.
I know this is a joyful trouble to you, but yet 'tis one.
The labour we delight in physics pain.
I'll make so bold to call, for 'tis my limited service.
Goes the king hence today.
He does. He did appoint.
The night has been unruly. Where we lay, our chimneys were blown down, and, as they say, lamentings heard of the air. Strange screams of death. And prophesying with accents terrible of dire combustion and confused events new hatched to the woeful time. The obscure bird clamoured the livelong night. Some see the earth was feverish and did shake.
It was a rough night.
My young remembrance cannot parallel a fell to it.
Horror! 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 Tongue nor heart cannot conceive nor name thee.
Now, what's the matter?
Confusion now hath made his masterpiece. Most sacrilegious murder hath broke up the Lord's anointed temple and stole thence the life of the building.
What you say, the life?
Mean you, his majesty?
Approach the chamber and destroy your sight with a new gorgon. Do not bid me speak. See, and then speak yourselves. Awake! Awake! Ring the alarm bell! Murder and treason! Banquo and Dolvin! Malcolm! Awake! Shake off this downy sleep. Death's counterfeit, and look on death itself. Up! Up and see the great doom's image! Malcolm! Banquo! As long your graves rise up and walk like sprites to countenance this horror! Ring the bell!
What's the business that such a hideous trumpet calls? Propound the sleepers of the house! Speak! Speak!
Oh, gentle lady, 'tis not for you to hear what I can speak. The repetition in a woman's ear would murder as it fell.
Oh, Banquo. Banquo, our royal master's murdered.
Whoa! Alas! What? In our house?
Too cruel anywhere. Dear Duff, I pray thee contradict thyself and say it is not so.
Had I but died an hour before this chance, I had lived a blessed time. For from this instant, there's nothing serious in mortality. All is but toys. Renown and grace is dead. The wine of life is drawn, and the mere lees is left this vault to brag of.
What is amiss?
You are, and do not know it. The spring, the head, the fountain of your blood is stopped. The very source of it is...
Your royal father's murdered.
Oh, by whom? Those of his chamber, as it seemed, had done. Their hands and faces were all batched with blood. So were their daggers, which unwiped we found upon their pillows. They stared and were distracted. No man's life was to be trusted with them.
And yet I do repent me of my fury that I did kill them.
Wherefore did you so?
Who can be wise, amazed, temperate and furious, loyal and neutral in a moment? No man. The expedition of my violent love outrun the pause of reason. Here lay Duncan, his silver skin laced with his golden blood, and his gashed stabs looked like a breach in nature for ruin's wasteful entrance. There the murderers, steeped in the colours of their trade, their daggers unmannerly breached with gore. Who could refrain that had a heart to love, and in that heart courage to make love known?
Help me, Anselm.
Look to the lady.
Look to the lady! And when we have our naked frailty's head that suffer in exposure, let us meet and question this most bloody piece of work to know it further. Fears and scruples shake us. In the great hand of God I stand, and thence against the undivulged pretense I fight of treasonous malice.
And so do I.
So all! Let's briefly put on manly readiness and meet at the hall together.
Three score and ten I can remember well. Within the volume of which time I have seen hours dreadful and things strange. But this sore night hath trifled former knowings.
Ah,
Good Father, thou seest the heavens, as troubled with man's act, threaten his bloody stage. By the clock 'tis day, and yet dark night strangles the travelling lamp. Is't night's predominance, or the day's shame, that darkness does the face of earth entomb, when living light should kiss it?
'Tis unnatural, even like the deed that's done. On Tuesday last, a falcon, towering in her pride of place, was by a mousing owl hawked at and killed.
And Duncan's horses, a thing most strange and certain, beauteous and swift, the minions of their race, turned wild in nature, broke their stalls, flung out, contending against obedience as they would make war with mankind.
'Tis said they ate each other.
They did so, to the amazement of mine eyes that looked upon't. Here comes the good Macduff. How goes the world, sir, now?
Why, see you not?
It's known who did this more than bloody deed?
Those that Macbeth hath slain.
Alas, the day. What good could they pretend?
They were suborned. Malcolm and Donalbain, the king's two sons, are stolen away and fled, which puts upon them suspicion of the deed.
Then 'tis most like the sovereignty will fall upon Macbeth.
He is already named, and gone to Scone to be invested.
Will you to Scone?
No, cousin. I'll to Fife.
Well, I will thither.
Well, may you see things well done there. Adieu. Lest our old robes sit easier than our new.
Thou hast it now. King, Cawdor, Glamis, all as the weird woman promised. And I fear thou playedst most foully for't. Yet it was said it should not stand in thy posterity, but that myself should be the root and father of many kings. If there come truth from them, as upon thee, Macbeth, their speeches shine, why, by the verities on thee made good, may they not be my oracles as well, and set me up in hope? But hush, no more.
Here's our chief guest.
If he had been forgotten, it had been as a gap in our great feast, and all thing unbecoming.
Tonight we hold a solemn supper, sir, and I request your presence.
Let your highness command upon me, to the which my duties are with a most indissoluble tie forever knit.
Ride you this afternoon?
Aye, my good lord.
We should have else desired your good advice, which still hath been both grave and prosperous in this day's council. But we'll take tomorrow. As far, your right?
As far, my lord, as will fill up the time twixt this and supper. Going out my horse the better, I must become a borrower of the night for a dark hour or twain.
Fail not our feast.
My lord, I will not.
We hear our bloody cousins are bestowed in England and in Ireland, not confessing their cruel parricide, filling their hearers with strange invention. But of that tomorrow, when therewithal we shall have cause of state, craving us jointly. Hie ye to horse. Adieu, till you return at night. Goes Fleance with you?
Aye, my good lord. Our time does call upon us.
I wish your horses swift and sure of foot. And so I do commend you to their bite. Farewell. Let every man be master of his time till 7 at night. To make society the sweeter welcome, we will keep ourselves till supper time alone. While then, God be with you. Sit out word with you. Attend those men our pleasure?
They are, my lord, without the palace gate.
Bring them before us. To be thus is nothing, but to be safely thus. Our fears in Banquo stick deep, and in his royalty of nature reigns that which would be feared. 'Tis much he dares, and to that dauntless temper of his mind, he hath a wisdom that doth guide his valour to act in safety. There is none but he whose being I do fear, and under him my genius is rebuked,
As it is said, Mark Antony's was by Caesar. He chid the sisters when first they put the name of king upon me and bade them speak to him. Then, prophet-like, they hailed him father to a line of kings. Upon my head they placed a fruitless crown and put a barren scepter in my gripe, thence to be wrenched with an unlineal hand, no son of mine succeeding. If it be so, for Banquo's issue have I filed my mind. For them, the gracious Duncan, have I martyred, put rancors in the vessel of my peace, only for them, and mine eternal jewel, given to the common enemy of man, to make them kings, the seed of Banquo kings. Rather than so, come fate into the list, and champion me to the utterance.
Who's there?
Was it not yesterday we spoke together?
It was, so please your highness.
Well then. Now, have you considered of my speeches? Know that it was he in the times past which held you so under fortune, which you thought had been our innocent self. This I made good to you in our last conference, passed in probation with you, how you were born in hand, how crossed the instruments, who wrought with them, and all things else that might to half a soul and to a notion crazed say, thus did Banquo.
You made it known to us.
I did so, and went further, which is now our point of second meeting. Do you find your patience so predominant in your nature that you can let this go? Are you so gospel to pray for this good man and for his issue, whose heavy hand hath bowed you to the grave and beggared yours forever?
We are men, my liege.
Aye, in the catalogue you go for men, as hounds and greyhounds, mongrels, spaniels, curs, shocks, water rugs, and demi-wolves are crept all by the name of dogs. The valued file distinguishes the swift, the slow, the subtle, the housekeeper, the hunter, every one according to the gift which bounteous nature hath in him closed, whereby he does receive particular addition from the bill that writes them all alike, and so of men. Now, if you have a station in the file, not of the worst rank of manhood, say it, and I will put that business in your bosoms, whose execution takes your enemy off, grapples you to the heart and love of us, who wear our health but sickly in his life, which in his death were perfect.
I am one, my liege, whom the vile blows and buffets of the world have so incensed that I am reckless what I do to spite the world.
And I another, so weary with disasters, tugged with fortune, that I would set my life on any chance to mend it or be rid on't.
Both of you, no, Banquo was your enemy.
True, my lord.
So is he mine, and in such bloody distance that every minute of his being thrusts against my nearest of life, and though I could, with bare-faced power, sweep him from my sight and bid my will avouch it, yet I must not. For certain friends that are both his and mine, whose loves I may not drop, but wail his fall, who I myself struck down, and thence it is that I, to your assistance, do make love, masking the business from the common eye for sundry weighty reasons.
We shall, my lord, perform what you command us.
Though our lives...
Your spirits shine through you. Within this hour at most, I will advise you where to plant yourselves, acquaint you with the perfect spy of the time, the moment on it, for it must be done tonight, and something from the palace. Always thought that I require a clearness, and with him to leave no rubs nor botches in the work. Fleance, his son, that keeps him company, whose absence is no less material to me than is his father's, must embrace the fate of that dark hour. Resolve yourselves apart. I'll come to you anon.
We are resolved, my lord.
I'll call upon you straight. Abide within. It is concluded. Banquo, thy soul's flight, if it find heaven, must find it out tonight.
had, all spent, when our desire is got without content. To savour, to be that which we destroy, than by destruction dwell in doubtful joy. How now, my lord? Why do you keep alone? Of sorriest fancies your companions making, using those thoughts which should indeed have died with them they think on. Things without all remedy should be without regard. What's done is done.
We have scotched the snake, not killed it. She'll close and be herself, whilst our poor Malice remains in danger of her former tooth. But let the frame of things disjoint, both the worlds suffer ere we will eat our meal in fear and sleep in the affliction of these terrible dreams that shake us nightly. Better be with the dead, whom we, to gain our peace, have sent to peace, than on the torture of the mind to lie in restless ecstasy. Duncan is in his grave. After life's fitful fever, he sleeps well. Treason has done his worst. Nor steel, nor poison, malice domestic, foreign levy, nothing can touch him further.
Come on. Gentle, my lord, sleek o'er your rugged looks. Be bright and jovial among your guests tonight.
So shall I, love. And so, I pray, be you. Let your remembrance apply to Banquo. Present him eminence both with eye and tongue. Unsafe the while that we must lave our honours in these flattering streams and make our faces vizards to our hearts, disguising what they are.
You must leave this.
Oh, full of scorpions is my mind, dear wife.
Thou knowest that Banquo and his fleance lives.
But in them nature's copies not etern.
Oh, there's comfort yet. They are saleable. Then be thou jocund. Ere the bat hath flown his cloistered flight, ere to black Hecate's summons the shard-born beetle with his drowsy hums hath rung night's yawning peal, there shall be done a deed of dreadful note.
What's to be done?
Be innocent of the knowledge, dearest Jack, till thou applaud the deed. Come, sealing night, scarf up the tender eye of pitiful day, and with thy bloody and invisible hand cancel and tear to pieces that great bond which keeps me pale. Light thickens, and the crow makes wing to the rooky wood. Good things of day begin to droop and drowse, while night's black agents to their praise do rouse. Thou marvelest at my words, but hold thee still. Things bad begun make strong themselves by ill. So prithee, go with me.
Yet glimmers with some streaks of day. Now spurs the late traveller apace to gain the timely inn, and near approaches the subject of our watch.
Hark! I hear horses.
Then 'tis he. The rest that are within the note of expectation already are in the court.
His horses go about
almost a mile, but he does usually, so all men do. From hence to the palace gate, make it their walk.
A light! A light to see! Stand to it!
It'll be rain tonight.
Let it come down!
Dragon Slayer! Fly! The mere revenge!
Slave!
There's but one gun! The sun has fled.
We have lost best half of our affair.
Well, let's away and see how much is done.
You know your own degrees. Sit down. First and last, the hearty welcome.
Thanks to your majesty.
Ourself will mingle with society and play the humble host. Our hostess keeps her state, but in best time, we will require her welcome.
Pronounce it for me, sir. To all our friends, for my heart speaks, they are welcome.
See, they encounter thee with their hearts, thanks. Both sides are even. Here, I'll sit in the midst. Be large in mirth. Anon, we'll drink a measure of the table round. There's blood on thy face.
There's Banquo's, then.
There's better thee without than he within. Is he dispatched?
My lord, his throat is cut. That I did for him.
Thou art the best of the cutthroats. Yet he's good that did the like for Fleance. If thou didst it, thou art the nonpareil.
Most royal sir, Fleance escaped.
Then comes my fit again.
I had else been perfect. Whole as the marble, founded as the rock. As broad and general as the casing air, but now I am cabined, cribbed, confined, bound in to saucy doubts and fears. The bank was safe.
Aye, my good lord. Safe in a ditch he bides, with 20 trenched gashes on his head, the least a death to nature.
Thanks for that. There the grown serpent lies, the worm that's fled, hath nature that in time will venom breed. No teeth were the present. Get thee gone. Tomorrow we'll hear ourselves again.
My royal lord, you do not give the cheer. The feast is so that is not often vouched. While 'tis a making, 'tis given with welcome. To feed were best at home. From thence the sauce to meat is ceremony. Meeting were bare without it.
Sweet remembrance, sir. Now, good digestion, weight on appetite, and health on both.
May it please your highness, sit.
Here had we now our country's honour roved, where the graced person of our Banquo present, who may I rather challenge for unkindness than pity for mischance.
His absence, sir, lays blame upon his promise. Pleased, your highness, to grace us with your royal company.
The table's full.
Here is a place reserved, sir.
Where?
Here, my good lord. What is the move, your highness?
Which of you have done this?
What, my good lord?
I canst not say I did it. Never shake thy gory locks at me!
Gentlemen, rise. His highness is not well.
Sit! Worthy friends, my lord is often thus, and hath been from his youth. Pray you, keep seat. The fit is momentary. Upon a thought, he will again be well. If much you note him, you shall offend him and extend his passion. Feed, and regard him not. Are you a man?
Aye, and a bold one. A dear look on that, which might appall the devil.
Oh, proper stuff. This is the very painting of your fear. This is the air-drawn dagger which you said led you to Duncan. Oh, these flaws and starts. Imposters to true fear would well become a woman's story at a winter's fire, authorized by her grandam. Shame itself! Why do you make such faces? When all's done, you look but on a stool.
It is there. Behold, look. Oh, I see.
Why, what care I if thou canst not speak to... If charnel houses and our graves must send those that we bury back, our monument shall be the maws of kites!
What? Quite unmanned in folly?
If I stand here,
I saw him. Fie, for shame!
Blood hath been shed ere now. In the olden time, ere human statute purged the gentle wheel. Aye, and since too, murders have been performed too terrible for the ear. The times have been that when the brains were out, the man would die. And they're on end, but now they rise again, with 20 mortal murders on the crowns and pushes from our stools. This is more strange than such a murder is.
My worthy lord, your noble friends do lack you.
I do forget
Do not muse at me, my most worthy friends. I have a strange infirmity which is nothing to those that know me. Come, love and health to all. Then I'll sit down. Give me some wine. I drink to the general joy of the whole table. And to our dear friend Banquo, whom we miss. Would he were here. To all and him, we thirst. And all to all.
Our duties and the pledge.
I'll vaunt and quit my sight. Let the earth hide thee. Thy bones are marrowless, thy blood is cold, thou hast no speculation in those eyes which thou dost glare with.
Think of this, good peers, but as a thing of custom. 'Tis no other, only it spoils the pleasure of the time.
Dear, approach thou like the rugged Russian bear, the armed rhinoceros, or the hircan tiger. Take any shape but that, and my firm nerves shall never tremble or be alive again, and dare me to the desert with thy sword. If trembling I inhabit, then protest me that baby of a girl. Hence, horrible shadow, unreal mockery, hence! Why, so being gone, I am a man again. Pray you sit still.
You have displaced the mirth, broke the good meeting with most admired disorder.
Can such things be, and overcome us like a summer's cloud, without our special wonder? You make me strange, even to the disposition that I owe, where now I think you can behold such sights, and keep the natural ruby of your cheeks, while mine is blanched with fear.
What sights, my lord?
I pray you speak not! He grows worse and worse. Question enrages him. At once, good night. Stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once.
Good night, and better health attends his majesty.
Kind good night to all.
It will have blood, they say. Blood will have blood. Stones have been known to move, and trees to speak. Augurs and understood relations have, by magpies and choughs and rooks, brought forth the secrets, man of blood. What is night?
Almost at odds with morning, which is which.
How sayest thou that Macduff denies his person at our great bidding?
Did you send to him, sir?
I heard it, by the way, but I will send. There's not a one of them, but in his house I keep a servant feed. For mine own good, all causes shall give way. I am in blood, stepped in so far that should I wait no more, returning were as tedious as go. Strange things I have in head that will to hand, which must be acted ere they may be scanned.
You lack the season of all nature's sleep.
Come, we'll to sleep. My strange and self-abuse is the initiate fear that wants hard use. We are yet but young indeed. Secret black and midnight hags, what is it you do?
A deed without a name.
I conjure you by that which you profess. However you come to know it, answer me. Though you untie the winds and let them fight against the churches, though the yesty waves confound and swallow navigation up, though bladed corn be lodged and trees blown down, though castles topple on their warders' heads, though palaces and pyramids do slope their heads to their foundations, though the treasure of nature's germens tumble all together, even till destruction sicken, answer me to what I ask you.
Wouldst rather hear it from our mouths or from our masters?
Call him. Let me see him.
Come high or low, thyself and office deftly show.
Tell me, thou unknown power.
He knows thy thought. Hear his speech, but say thou not.
Macbeth. 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 Beware, Macduff. Beware the Thane of Fife. Dismiss me. Enough.
Whate'er thou art, for thy good caution, thanks. Thou hast harped my fear all right. But one word more.
I will not be commanded. Here's another, more potent than the first. Macbeth. Macbeth. Macbeth.
Had I 3 years, I'd hear thee.
Be bloody. Bold and resolute, laugh to scorn the power of man, for none of woman born shall harm Macbeth.
Then live, Macduff. What need I fear of thee? But yet I'll make assurance double sure, and take a bond of fate. Thou shalt not live, that I may tell pale-hearted fear it lies, and sleep in spite of thunder. What is this that rises like the issue of a king? Who wears upon his baby brown the round and top of sovereignty?
Listen, yes, but speak not to it.
Be lion-mettled, proud, and take no care who chafes, who frets, or where conspirers are. Macbeth shall never vanquished be until Big Birnam Wood to high Dunsinane Hill shall come against him.
That will never be. Who can impress the forest, bid the tree unfix his earth-bound root? Sweet bodiments, good. Rebellion's head, rise never till the wood of Burnham rise, and our high-placed Macbeth shall live the lease of nature, pay his breath to time and mortal custom. Yet my heart throbs to know one thing. Tell me, if your art can tell so much, shall Banquo's issue ever reign in this kingdom?
Seek to know no more.
I will be satisfied. Deny me this, and an eternal curse fall on you. Let me know.
Show, show, show. Show his eyes and reveal his heart. Come like shadows, so depart.
Thou art too like the spirit of Banquo. Down! Thy crown does sear mine eyeballs, and I hear. Thou other gold-bound brow is like the first, a third is like the former. Filthy hags, why do you show me this? A fourth, start eyes. What will the light stretch out to the crack of doom? Another yet, a seventh, I'll see no more. And yet an eighth appears, who bears a glass, which shows me many more. Some I see the twofold balls and trebled scepters carry. Horrible sight! Now I see it is true! For the blood-boltered Banquo smiles upon me and points at them for his.
Where are they? Gone?
At this pernicious hour, stand I accursed in the calendar.
Come in without there.
What's your grace's will?
Saw you the weird sisters?
No, my lord.
Came they not by you?
No, indeed, my lord.
Infected be the air whereon they ride, and damned all those that trust them. I did hear the galloping of horse. Who was come by?
'Tis two or three, my lord, that bring you word. Macduff has fled to England.
Fled to England?
Aye, my good lord.
Time, thou anticipatest my dread exploits. The flighty purpose never is o'ertook, unless the deed go with it. From this moment, the very firstlings of my heart shall be the firstlings of my hand. And even now, to crown my thoughts with acts, be it thought and done. The castle of Macduff I will surprise, seize upon Fife, give to the edge of the sword his wife, his babes, and all unfortunate souls that trace him in his line. No boasting like a fool. This deed I'll do before this purpose could. But no more sights.
What had he done to make him fly the land?
You must have patience, madam.
He had none. His flight was madness. When our actions do not, our fears do make us traitors.
You know not whether it was his wisdom or his fear.
Wisdom? To leave his wife, to leave his babes, his mansion and his titles in a place from whence himself doth fly?
My dearest Kaz, I pray you school yourself. But for your husband, he is noble, wise, judicious, and best knows the fits of the season. I dare not speak much further. I take my leave of you. Shall not be long, but I'll be here again. Things at the worst will cease, or else climb upward to what they were before. My pretty cousin, blessing upon you.
Fathered he is, and yet he's fatherless.
I am so much a fool, should I stay longer, it would be my disgrace and your discomfort. I take my leave at once.
Sirrah. Your father's dead. And what will you do now? How will you live?
As birds do, mother.
What, with worms and flies?
With what I get, I mean. And so do they.
Poor bird. Thou'dst never fear the net nor lime, the pitfall nor the gin.
Why should I, mother? Poor birds they are not set for. My father is not dead, for all your sake.
Yes, he is dead. How wilt thou do for a father?
Nay, how will you do for a husband?
Why, I can buy me 20 at any market.
Then you buy him to sell again.
Thou speakst with all thy wit, and yet a faith with wit enough for thee.
Was my father a traitor, mother?
Aye, that he was.
What is a traitor?
Why, one that swears and lies.
And be all traitors that do so?
Everyone that does so is a traitor, and must be hanged.
And must they all be hanged that swear and lie?
Everyone.
Who must hang them?
Why, the honest men.
Then the liars and swearers are fools, for there are liars and swearers and now to beat the honest men and hang up them.
God help thee, poor monkey. But how wilt thou do for a father, hmm?
If he were dead, you'd weep for him. If you would not, it were a good sign that I should quickly have a new father.
Poor prattler. How thou talkst. Oh! What are these faces?
Where is your husband?
I hope in no place so unsanctified where such as thou mayest find him.
He's a traitor.
Their lies, they've shot your blood.
What? Hey!
Why in that rawness left you wife and child? Those precious motives, those strong knots of love, without leave-taking. I pray you, let not my jealousies be your dishonours, but mine own safeties. You may be rightly just, whatever I shall think.
Bleed, bleed, poor country. Great tyranny, lay thou thy bases sure, for goodness dare not check thee. Wear thou thy wrongs. The title is a fiend.
Be not offended. I speak not as an absolute fear of you. I think our country sinks beneath the yoke. It weeps, it bleeds, and each new day a gash is added to our wounds. I think withal there would be hands uplifted in my right. And here from gracious England have I offer of goodly thousands. But for all this, when I shall tread upon the tyrant's head, or wear it on my sword, yet my poor country shall have more vices than it had before, more suffer and more sundry ways than ever by him that shall succeed.
What should he be?
It is myself, I mean, in whom I know all the particulars of vice so grafted that when they shall be opened, Black Macbeth will seem as pure as snow, and the poor state esteem him as a lamb, being compared with my confineless harm.
Not in the legions of horrid hell can come a devil more damned in evils to top Macbeth.
I grant him bloody, luxurious, avaricious, false, deceitful, sudden, malicious, smacking of every sin that has a name. But there's no bottom, none, in my voluptuousness. Your wives, your daughters, your matrons and your maids could not fill up the cistern of my lust.
Boundless intemperance in nature is a tyranny. It hath been the untimely emptying of the happy throne and fall of many kings. But fear not, yet, to take upon you what is yours. You may convey your pleasures in a spacious plenty. We have willing dames enough.
With this there grows in my most ill-composed affection such a staunchless avarice that were I king, I should cut off the nobles for their lands, desire his jewels and this other's house, and my more having would be as a sauce to make me hunger more.
This avarice sticks deeper, grows with more pernicious root than summer seeming lust, and it hath been the sword of our slain kings. Yet do not fear. Scotland hath foisons to fill up your will of your mere own. All these are portable with other graces, Wade.
But I have none. Nay, had I power, I should pour the sweet milk of concord into hell, uproar the universal peace, confound all unity on earth.
Oh, Scotland, Scotland!
Such a one be fit to govern, speak. I am as I have spoken.
Fit to govern? No, not to live. Fare thee well. These evils thou repeatest upon thyself hath banished me from Scotland. Oh, my breast, thy hope ends here.
Macduff, this noble passion, child of integrity, hath from my soul wiped the black scruples, reconciled my thoughts to thy good truth and honour. What I am truly is thine, and my poor country's to command. Whither indeed, before thy here approach, old Seward with 10,000 warlike men, already at a point, was setting forth. Now, we'll together, and the chance of goodness be like our warranted quarrel. Why are you silent?
Such welcome and unwelcome things at once, 'tis hard to reconcile. See, who comes here?
My countryman, but yet I know him not.
My ever gentle cousin, welcome hither.
I know him now, good God, betimes remove the means that makes us strangers.
Sir, amen.
Stand Scotland where it did.
Alas, poor country, almost afraid to know itself. It cannot be called our mother, but our grave.
Oh, relation too nice and yet too true.
What's the newest grief?
That of an hour's age doth hiss the speaker. Each minute teems a new one.
How does my wife?
Quite well.
And all my children?
Well, too.
The tyrant has not battered at their peace.
No, they were well at peace when I did leave them.
Be not a niggard of your speech. How goest?
When I came hither to transport the tidings which I have heavily borne, there ran a rumour of many worthy fellows that were out, which was to my belief witnessed the rather, for that I saw the tyrant's power afoot. Now is the time of help. Your eye in Scotland would create soldiers, make our women fight to doff their dire distresses.
Be it their comfort, we are coming thither. Gracious England hath lent us good Seward and 10,000 men.
Would I could answer this comfort with the like, but I have words that will be howled out in the desert air where hearing should not lack them.
What concern thee? The general cause, or is it a fee grief due to some single breast?
No mind that's honest, but in it shares some woe, though the main part pertains to you alone.
If it be mine, keep it not from me. Quickly, let me have it.
Let not your ears despise my tongue for ever, which shall possess them with the heaviest sound that ever yet they heard.
I guess I did.
Your castle is surprised. your wife and babes savagely slaughtered, to relate the manner where, on the quarry of these murdered deer, to add the death of you.
Merciful heaven! What, man? Ne'er pull your hat upon your brow. Give sorrow words. The grief that does not speak whispers the o'erfraught heart and bids it break.
My children, too.
Wife, children, servants, all that could be found.
And I must be from thence. My wife killed, too.
I have said.
Be comforted. Let's make us medicines of our great revenge to cure this deadly grief.
He has no children. All my pretty ones. Did you say all? Oh, Hellkite. All? What? All my pretty chickens and their dam at one fell swoop?
Dispute it like a man.
I shall do so! But I must also feel it as a man! I cannot but remember such things were that were most precious to me. Did heaven look on and would not take their part? Sinful Macduff, they were all struck for thee. Not that I am. Not for their own demerits, but for mine fell slaughter on their souls. Heaven, rest them now.
Be this the whetstone of your sword. Let grief convert to anger. Blunt not the heart. Enrage it.
Oh, I could play the woman with mine eyes and brag it with my tongue. But, gentle heavens, cut short all intermission. Front to front, bring thou this fiend of Scotland and myself. Within my sword's length, set him. If he scape, heaven, forgive him too.
When was it she last walked?
Since His Majesty went into the field, I've seen her rise from her bed, throw her nightgown upon her, unlock her closet, take forth paper, fold it, write upon it, read it, afterwards seal it, and again return to bed. Yet all this while in a most fast sleep.
A great perturbation in nature to receive at once the benefit of sleep and do the effects of watching. In this slumbery agitation, besides her walking and other actual performances, what at any time have you heard her say?
That, sir, which I will not report after her.
You may to me, and 'tis most meet you should.
Neither to you nor anyone, having no witness to confirm my speech. Lo you, here she comes. This is her very guise, and upon my life, fast asleep. Observe her. Stand close.
How came she by that light?
Why, it stood by her. She has light by her continually. 'Tis her command.
You see, her eyes are open.
Aye, but their sense is shut.
What is it she does now? Look how she rubs her hands.
It is an accustomed action with her to seem thus washing her hands. I've known her continue in this a quarter of an hour.
Yet he is a spot.
Hark, she speaks. I will set down what comes from her to satisfy my remembrance the more strongly.
Out. Damn spot. Out, I say.
One. Two.
Why then, 'tis time to do it. Hell is murky. Fie, my lord, fie. A soldier and a feared. What need we fear who knows it when none can call our power to account? Yet, who would have thought the old man to have had so much blood in him?
Do you mark that?
The Thane of Fife had a wife. Where is she now? What? Will these hands ne'er be clean? No more of that, my lord. No more of that.
You mar all with a starting.
Go to, go to. You have known what you should not.
She has spoke what she should not. I'm sure of that. Heaven knows what she has known.
There's a smell of the blood still. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand.
What a sigh is there. The heart is sorely charged.
I would not have such a heart in my bosom for the dignity of the whole body.
Well, well, well.
Pray God it be, sir.
This disease is beyond my practice. Yet I have known those which have walked in their sleep who have died holily in their beds.
Wash your hands. Put on your nightgown. Look not so pale. I tell you yet again, Banquo's buried. He cannot come out on his grave.
Even so.
To bed. To bed. There's knocking at the gate. Come. 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 Give me your hand. What's done cannot be undone. To bed. To bed. To bed.
Will she go now to bed?
Directly.
More needs she the divine than the physician. God, God, forgive us all. Look after her. Remove from her the means of all annoyance, and still keep eyes upon her. So good night. My mind she has mated and amazed my sight. I think, but dare not speak.
The English power is near, fed on by Malcolm, his uncle Seelos, and the good Macduff.
Revenge is burning them.
Near Birnam Woods, so we well meet them.
What does the tyrant?
Great Dunsinane, he strongly fortifies. Some say he's mad. Others that lesser hate him and do call it valiant fury.
Now does he feel his secret murder sticking on his hands. Now minutely revolts upbraid his faith breach. Those he commands move only in command and nothing in love. Now does he feel his title hang loose about him like a giant's robe upon a dwarfish thief.
Well, march we on. To give obedience where 'tis truly owed. Meet we the medicine of the sickly wheel, and with him pour we in our country's purge, each drop of us. Make we our march towards Birnam! Bring me no more reports! Let them fly all! Till Birnam Wood removed to Dunsinane, I cannot taint with fear.
Was the boy Malcolm? Was he not born of woman? The spirits that know all mortal consequences have pronounced me thus. Fear not, Macbeth. No man that's born of woman shall e'er have power upon thee. Then fly, false things, and mingle with the English epicures. The mind I sway by and the heart I bear shall never sag with doubt nor shake with fear. The devil damn thee, black thou cream-faced loon. Where got'st thou that goose look?
There's 10,000...
Geese, villain!
Soldier, sir.
Go prick thy face and overrid thy fear, thou lily-livered boy. What soldiers? Patch! Death of thy soul, those linen cheeks of thine are counselors to fear. What soldiers? Wayface!
The English force shall please you.
Take thy face hence. Satan! I am sick at heart when I behold... Satan, I say! This push will cheer me ever, or deceit me now. I have lived long enough. My way of life is fallen into the sear. The yellow leaf and that which should accompany old age as honor, love, obedience, troops of friends... I must not look to have. But in their stead, curses, not loud but deep. Mouth honor, breath, which the poor heart would fain deny and dare not.
Seaton!
What is your gracious pleasure?
What news more?
All is confirmed, my lord, which was reported.
I'll fight till from my bones my flesh be hacked. Give me my armor!
It is not needed yet.
I'll put it on! Send out more horses! Scour the country round! Hang those that talk of fear! Give me my armor!
How does your patient, doctor?
Not so sick, my lord, as she is troubled with thick coming fancies that keep her from her rest.
Cure her of that. Canst thou not minister to a mind diseased? Pluck from the memory a rooted sorrow? Raise out the written troubles of the brain? And with some sweet, oblivious antidote, cleanse the stuffed bosom of that perilous stuff which weighs upon the heart?
Therein the patient must minister to himself.
So physic to the dogs! I'll none of it! Come, put my armor on! Give me my staff! Satan, send out!
Doctor, the thanes fly from me.
Come, sir, dispatch!
If thou couldst, doctor, cast the water of my land, find her disease, and purge it to a sound and pristine health, I would applaud thee to the very echo that should applaud again.
Pull it off, I say!
What rhubarb, sign, or what purgative drug would scour these English hens? Hearest thou of them?
Aye, my good lord. Your royal preparation makes us hear something.
Bring it after me! I will not be afraid of death and bane. Till Burnham Forest come to Dunsinane.
What wood is this before us?
The wood of Burnham. Let every soldier hew him down a bough and bear it before him. Thereby shall we shadow the numbers of our host and make discovery ere and report of us.
It shall be done.
Hang out our banners on the outward walls.
The cry is still, they come. Our castle's strength will laugh a siege to scorn. Here let them lie till famine and the ague eat them up. Were they not forced with those that should be ours, we might have met them dareful beard to beard and beat them backward home. What is that noise?
It is the cry of women, my good lord.
I have almost forgot the taste of fears. The time has been my senses would have cooled to hear a night shriek, and my fell of hair would at a dismal treetide rouse and stir as life were in it. I have supped full with horrors. Direness, familiar to my slaughterous thoughts, cannot once start me. Wherefore was that cry?
The queen, my lord, is dead.
She should have died hereafter. There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out. Out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Thou comest to use thy tongue, thy story quickly.
Gracious my lord, I should report that which I say I saw, but know not how to do it.
Well, say, sir.
As I did stand my watch upon the hill, I looked toward Burnham, and anon methought, the wood began to move.
Liar and slave!
Let me endure your wrath if it be not so. Within this 3 mile may you see it coming. I say a moving growth.
If thou speak'st false, upon the next tree shalt thou hang alive till famine cling thee.
if thy speech be sooth. I care not if thou dost for me as much. I pull in resolution and begin to doubt the equivocation of the fiend that lies like truth. Fear not till Burnham Wood to come to Dunsinane, and now a wood comes toward Dunsinane. Arm! Arm and out! If this which he avouches does appear, there is nor flying hence, nor tarrying here. I begin to be a weary of the sun, and wish the estate of the world were now undone. Ring the alarm bell! Wind, come wrecked! At least we'll die with harness on our back!
Now near enough! Your leafy screens throw down and show like those you are! You, worthy uncle, shall with my cousin, your right noble son, lead our first battle. Worthy Macduff and we shall take upon us what else remains to do according to our order.
Very well. Do we but find the tyrant's power tonight? Let us be beaten if we cannot fight.
Make all our trumpets speak. Get them all breath. Those clamorous harbingers of blood and death.
They have tied me to a stake. I cannot fly. But bear-like, I must fight the course. Was he that was not born of woman? Such a one, am I to fear or not?
What is thy name?
Thou'll be afraid to hear it.
No, though thou callst thyself a hotter name than any is in hell.
My name's Macbeth.
The devil himself could not pronounce a title more hateful to mine ear.
No, nor more fearful.
Thou liest, the poor tyrant. With my sword, I'll prove the lie thou speakst. Yeah.
Thou wast born of woman. The swords I smile at, weapons laugh to scorn, brandished by man as of a woman born.
My lord, show thy face! If thou beest slain, and with no stroke of mine, my wife and children's ghosts will haunt me still. Let me find him fortune, and more I beg not.
This way, my lord. The castle's gently rendered. The day almost itself professes yours, and little is to do.
We have met with foes that strike beside us.
Enter, sir, the castle.
Why should I play the Roman fool and die on mine own sword, whilst I see lives, the gashes do better upon them?
Turn! Hellhound! Turn!
Of all men else, I have avoided thee. But get thee back. My soul is too much charged with blood of thine already.
I have no words. My voice is in my sword. Thou bloody Evelyn, the chance can give thee...
Thou losest labor. As easy mayst thou the entrenchant ear. With thy keen sword and presses make me bleed. Left fall thy blade on vulnerable crests. I bear a charmed life which must not yield to one of woman born.
Despair thy charm, and let the angel whom thou still hast served tell thee Macduff was from his mother's womb untimely wrecked.
Cursed be that tongue that tells me so, for it
hath cowed my better part of man. And be these juggling fiends no more believed that palter with us in a double sense? That keep the word of promise to our ear and break it to our hope? I'll not fight with thee!
Then yield thee, coward! And live to be the show and gaze of the time. We'll have thee as our rarer monsters are, painted on a pole, and under it, here may you see the tyrant.
I will not yield to kiss the ground before young Malcolm's feet, and to be baited with the rabble's curse. Though Burnham Wood be come to Dunsinane, and thou opposed being of no woman born, yet I will try the last. Before my body, I throw my warlike shield. Lay on Macduff, and damn be him that first cries, hold enough!
With thy kingdom's pearl, that speak my salutation in their minds, whose voices I desire aloud with mine. Hail, King of Scotland!
Hail, King of Scotland!
We shall not spend a large expense of time before we reckon with your several loves and make us even with you. My thanes and kinsmen, henceforth be earls, the first that ever Scotland in such an honour named. What's more to do, which would be planted newly with the time, as calling home our exiled friends abroad that fled the snares of watchful tyranny, producing forth the cruel ministers of this dead butcher, and his fiend-like queen, who, as 'tis thought, by self and violent hands, took off her life. This, and what needful else, but calls upon us, by the grace of grace, we will perform, in measure, time, and place. So, thanks to all at once, and to each one, whom we invite to see us crowned at Scone.
In Macbeth by William Shakespeare, the part of Macbeth was played by Ken Stott, and Lady Macbeth by Phyllis Logan. Macduff was Tom Mannion, Banquo, Liam Brennan, Duncan, Hugh Ross, Malcolm, Alan Cox, Lennox, Paul Higgins, and Ross, Alistair Galbraith. Lady Macduff was Tracy Wiles, Seaton, Ian Stuart Robertson, Seward and the First Murderer, Gavin Muir, the Sergeant and the Second Murderer, William McBean, and Fleance and young Seward, Stuart Wilkinson. Kenny Ireland was the porter, Graham Crowden, the old man, and Ken Drury, the doctor. Other parts were played by Catherine McGoldrick, Alex Ferns, and Ben McLeod. The music was composed and created by Dominic Muldowney. Technical presentation was by Rosamund Mason, Keith Graham, and Rachel Horan, and the production assistant was Jocelyn Boxall. Macbeth was adapted for radio and directed by Richard Eyre. The executive producer was Kate Rowland. Macbeth was produced for BBC Radio 3 and is published by BBC Worldwide.